have to turn far. Just look across the page to Let's Just Praise the Lord two times through tonight. Let's just praise the Lord. Father God, thank you for this evening you've given us, one of our 5 years of praise and worship services as we look to the author and finisher of our faith who has established this church and has allowed us to have such a blessed 5 years, Lord. As we go towards the 17th in our full anniversary celebration, allow tonight to be a blessing and encouragement to us all. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Welcome again to Assurance Baptist Church tonight. We are going to play the video, the five-year slideshow, in just a moment, but there's some visitors here tonight. So if you're a first-time visitor at Assurance Baptist Church, would you raise your hand, and our guys will give you a visitor packet. So we've got one up here in the front, and then my good friend, one of my classmates, Brother Derek Dragotis, and his wife, Ms. Tess, from our sending church in Wilmington, are here with us tonight, and so we're so glad to have them visiting with us. Their girls are back home at their church with Grandma there, and we got to see each other at camp, and Brother Derek and Tess are very skilled people, and so I said, I need you to come up to the church. We got some renovations going on. And Brother Derek said, well, we'll just come up and we'll come for service. So that's a blessing. They were working before service and now they're in here. And so one right there and then in the very back there, Brother Bud. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. But good to have you all here tonight. And God is good. Amen. So we're going to play this 5 years of praise and service. 5 years, it's gone so fast. God's blessed us. And so we're going to play this video. Hey, if you're not in this video, like I always tell the people, we do one at the end of every year. You'll be at the end of the year video, okay? But if we, there's about 1.4 billion pictures on Facebook, and there's about 2.0 billion pictures all time at Assurance Baptist Church. And so unless you wanted a 3,567 billion million video, 7 minutes is all you're getting, all right? So we got about a 7-minute video that Brother Brandon prepared, did a good job with that. And so we'll just see some of the cool things that happened over these last 5 years. Go ahead, fellas.
Age to age, he stands. God. I remember when my heart was broken, but now it's not. I've tasted and I've seen, you've been so good to me. From the moment that you changed my life, God, you never stopped. I'm gonna sing it, I'm gonna shout. Come try to get me, gonna praise the Lord. From the moment when the sun starts rising till the sun goes down, I'm surrounded by a million mercies. I can feel them now. I've tasted and I've seen, you've been so good to me. Got a melody inside my heart, oh, here's a sweet, sweet sound.
Let's all stand and sing a couple of songs here, and then we'll have our message and get out of here tonight.
All of my days, I want to praise.
Constant theme in these last 5 years is that this church is here to honor God and not ourselves, not the pastor, not each other, but this church stands to glorify His Son Jesus Christ, because there's nothing that we can behold like our God. Amen. Let's sing Behold Our God tonight.
Behold our God,
our girls follow Jalise.
You will reign forever.
Seated. Well, this evening, today is actually a special day in lots of ways. So it's our 5 year of praise and worship service leading up to our 5 year anniversary. But I'm going to ask my brother, Brother Brandon, Sister Megan to come up here for a moment. Today is actually Brother Brandon's 1 year on full time staff at Assurance Baptist Church. Amen. And so they have served faithfully. We're going to take Brother Brandon and myself and Sister Nancy and his family. We're going to take them to lunch tomorrow, and we'll give them their presents and things there. But Brother Brandon and Sister Megan have been faithful. You see the beginning of those videos. And, you know, Pastor McInerney, my training pastor, always taught me when you start a church, you know, there's people that are there for a season. There are people that are there for, you know, a lifetime. There are people there that come and go. And you just have to kind of be prepared for that. And Brother Brandon and Sister Megan, before they were married, Brother Brandon moved up here. Sister Megan was still there in Wilmington with her parents. And that first September, their anniversary coming up at the end of the month. But that first service and all those helpful just things that you saw them doing there at the beginning, from the very first service, Brother Brandon was there. And a lot of mornings, it was just he and I setting up those chairs and things like that. A little later on, Brother Carter, Brother Logan came along and really helped us out with that. And we kind of built a dream team at that point. Brother Brandon and I were just a team. But this young man here and Miss Megan means so much to me. And so some of you that don't know, you know, Brandon, I've known him since he was 17, 18 years old, since he was a young guy there at Bible Baptist Church in Wilmington when I was doing college and career. And he actually wasn't in the class because he was actually helping Brother Bob Osborne teach. And so he had my boys in class. And Sister Megan and her sister Kayla would watch our girls from time to time. And she's so much younger than me that I taught her when she was in high school. I would do Bible clubs and things like that. And they were at Wilmington. I think you guys were homeschooled, but you guys would go to Wilmington Bible Club maybe. And so it was amazing. We had a meeting at our church and said, anybody that's, you know, thinking about maybe moving to Dayton or going to help ABC get started, you know, we're going to meet in this room. And I didn't even know they were going. I walked into the room and they were sitting there and I was like, what are you guys doing here? And it's crazy how that works. Brother Brandon being trained for ministry and, you know, in a couple of years here, when he's finished with his training, not too quick, but when God calls and he's ready, our plan is to send Brother Brandon out of here to go start a church, to replicate this church. And that's what we're into is church planning. And so he has been faithful. Miss Megan has been faithful. And today marks one full complete year on staff. And to work for me for a year, you've got to be really strong and patient. Because I'm a lot. And so, and I demand a lot. And he has never complained or cried about it. He's always there, prepared, ready to go, doing his very best. And I always tell him, you know, it's just a good note for me to be able to say, and Carter and Brother Jeremy fall in this same thing. The only thing that they're doing right now that he's not, like I said Sunday night, is their families are pregnant, and it's time for you guys to get to work. Wouldn't it be amazing if all the assistant pastors were with child at one time? And so I've prayed that over you tonight. But we can grow that nursery, keep growing it. But I tell you, I don't care about saying it anymore because I'm way past my prime, so it doesn't bother me anymore. But what's amazing about that is that from the very first service to now, 5 years later, they have never changed. They've only gotten better and worked and served and been a blessing. But all of you families could get this, and this goes for deacons and trustee families as well. You know, there's a couple of things you can't teach in life, and that's just to be honest. people that are just honest and you can trust. And, you know, I can trust Brandon and Megan with, I trust them with my kids' lives. Literally, Grayson's an adult now, so I guess it falls to you. But until Grayson was 18, if something happened to us, Brandon and Megan were the people that our kids would have went and lived with. I don't know if they ever accepted that, but that's just where we were going to dump them off at. That's where they were going to get dropped off at. So. But I trust them with my life. And then the second thing that you can't teach is just hard work. Just get it done. They just figure it out mentality. You don't have to have a whole bunch of instructions. You just figure it out, and you can't beat that. And that works for all of our assistant families here, deacons and trustees. You say, how do people become deacons and trustees at Assurance Baptist Church? I don't vote. I can certainly veto if I know there's sin issues or something in your life, but it comes by the other men that are in that room bringing up a name and voting, and what they see is effort, hard work, leadership. They see those things, but you cannot teach honesty. You either honest or you're not. And hard work, there's lazy people. You either are willing to work hard or you're not. And these two epitomize that. So just give them a round of applause. Let them know you love them tonight. God bless you guys. I love you guys. Appreciate you. Sister Megan, appreciate you guys. And like I said, I've already invited Sister Megan and their kids, and Brother Brandon, me and Nancy are going to take them tomorrow, and we'll give them their special treats and go to wherever he wants to go to lunch. We try to do that for our birthdays and Mother's Day. Or Nancy, did you take us to lunch for Father's Day? Did me and Brandon get to go to lunch? Brandon, did we go to lunch for Father's Day? We took Nancy for Mother's Day, and we didn't get Jack. Yeah, sounds like the house mom. Yeah, that's a lot, ain't it? I could have said, take us to lunch, couldn't I? Yeah, you're right. All right, we're gonna have to fix that, Brandon. I don't know. We're gonna get two at Thanksgiving or something. But well, I am very excited and encouraged about these last 5 years, and I want to give you just a couple of updates and a couple of things that are going on. I'm not gonna take prayer requests because I'm gonna get you out of here on time. But if you have prayer requests, please text them or email them to myself or Sister Nancy, and we'll make sure they get on. We've updated from last week. There's several things in there, lots of stuff to pray for. But this is a praise service, so I want to give a praise. Sister Bev's camper sold. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise. But praise, the Stivers got their new home, and they're in and doing good. Praise the Lord. Praise, my brother Anthony's back. He was down a little bit Sunday, and so he's here today. Praise God for his health. And then also, I'm just going to give praise for the Brister family and also for the Cockman family, and the babies are on their way. Praise God for that. And then also for Matthew and Randy, Matt and Randy are coming up soon. It's time for a barbecue, Brother Matt. You probably don't know what that is, but we're having one, all right? And so we don't have showers for the boys. We have barbecues. And so we're going to have a barbecue coming up here on a date that works for you, but we're going to have some kind of grilled meat and a good time there. But we're so grateful for all you young families, and praise the Lord for that. And then praise the Lord for all these little ones running around here. And, you know, one of the greatest blessings in this last 5 years, and you see it through the videos, I find myself attached. I had this one in my arms at one point in time in the video. And, you just, it's kind of crazy because it's not even multiplied. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. I can remember being in the closet room with Leo and Eliza on Wednesday nights. There was a couple times where we had somebody else came in and Todd or something like that, and Chandra and I would work the nursery, and it was just Leo and his Michael Myers hair. That hair was everywhere. Remember that? Well, we were like, why has Leo got Michael Myers hair? And him and Eliza before they could walk, and now to think that they're going to be 5 at the turn of the year is just incredibly crazy for me. So these two kids right here, they mirror the church's age, so I always know how old they are. But I just look back at all that stuff, and it's great, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, tonight I'm going to look in the Bible, and I'm going to just go through some things here tonight with you quickly. Hey, remember, next week starts our Joyful Noise Choir. So the kids' choir starts next week. They're not going to come in here anymore. They're going to go straight to the fellowship hall and be picked up there as well. Because of us going to 2 services in October, I'm really trying to streamline all of our services. Not to get out quick. We'll do what the Holy Ghost tells us to do, but to really shorten and try to be right at an hour and all those things. Because I got to get practice, because with the morning service at 9 and Sunday school at 10, I got to be finished by 9:50. Now 11 o'clock, if you come to 11 o'clock service, you know, we might stay a while. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But Wednesdays, we're trying to streamline that a little bit as well, because noon service, we do about an hour. We're usually right on an hour. So we can do that in the evening as well. So we're going to be cutting some of the praise and worship, just having our hymns going through. We'll still do prayer requests, but it'll be more like noon service, kind of matching those services so that we can get the word and get prayer and get out. Okay, so more of a prayer meeting and Bible study. But next week on Wednesday nights and Wednesday afternoons, we start our study in Revelation and the end time. So it's really, we're going through the book of Revelation, but not adding things to the Bible. That would be against the rules. But adding things from popular culture and from world events into that, and seeing and kind of turning through with, it's going to be simultaneous, because as we're going through the book of Isaiah on Sunday night, Isaiah is getting ready to catch up in chapter 23 and start really talking about end times prophecies. So you're going to see it in two places. Now, Revelation, I just want you to know, on Wednesday nights, I'm teaching through it, but I'm preaching through it. I'm preaching messages from it, but I'll be a teacher preacher in those things. So you'll get some understanding, but then we'll also preach some of those things. So it will be both exegesis, but it will also be homiletical in that sense as we go through that. But tonight, I want a kind of a crazy title and a crazy thing. But you know, I told you I'm as an ex-corrections officer. It you know, these things, and I'm not I wasn't that guy that was just crazy for no reason. But I didn't treat people bad just for no reason, anything like that. But one of the things that resonates with me, and I watch all these documentaries and jail shows, and it's just kind of what I like. But you know, I think that we could all do well if we would think like a prisoner. If we would think like a prisoner. So it's kind of a weird title, but I think you'll understand it when we get to the end here. You know, a lot of bad things have happened over the last 5 years. Think about your own personal life. Think about the world. In the last 5 years, many of us have lost loved ones. In the last 5 years, many of us have seen brothers and sisters in Christ leave Assurance Baptist Church. We've seen others' health fade very quickly. We witnessed and lived through a global pandemic that forever has changed all of our lives. We were here in the day of the Memorial Day tornadoes, several tornadoes that came through the Miami Valley. We're here when our city is still recovering from those tornadoes, really. We were here when the Oregon District shooting happened. During this last 5 years, we've seen riots and police shootings and all kinds of civil unrest and political disintegration. And inflation has definitely strapped us in these last 5 years. In the last 5 years, a lot of lies have been told. I'm not saying at the church, I just mean in general life. In the last 5 years, a lot of non-important things have become very to the forefront. I could care less whether Twitter is called Twitter or X, but it's everywhere. A lot of wrongdoing and evil has taken place in the last 5 years. A lot of guilt and depraved behaviors. A lot of unfriendliness and lack of acceptance has taken place. A lot of negative talk and gossiping. A lot of praise aimed at the wrong place. A lot of praise for despicable things, or things that are high and lifted up that are sin to God, have been lifted up in the last 5 years. But the Apostle Paul is writing here in the book of Philippians chapter 4. He's writing from a prison. Now, this prison that he's in, they'll argue whether he was at Ephesus or Rome, it doesn't really matter to me, but he was in a Roman-style house arrest where he would have been chained and fettered to a guard all day long. More of a house arrest, but still unable to go where he wants or go do what he wants. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us not to think about the things that I just brought up. He tells us, don't think on the things that we just talked about. Don't think about lying. Don't think about all the wrongdoing. Don't think about the depraved. Don't think about the hurts you've been through. Don't think about the lack of forgiveness people have given to you. Don't think about the false witness. Don't think about the despicable things. He encourages us to think about something else. But you know what I've realized? It's really hard not to think about the bad things, isn't it? It's really hard not to think about the things that went wrong. It's really hard not to think about the negative. It's really hard not to think about the pain. You know, we're nothing more than daydreamers. All day long, if you really think about it, your mind is such that you are daydreaming. You're thinking of things that aren't in front of you, whether you're at work or not. You know, if you've ever driven anywhere for a distance and then wondered how you got there, you didn't remember even, like, how did we get there all of a sudden? It's because you've been daydreaming. Your mind, even though your eyes are focused on the road, and almost just by simple mechanics of doing it over and over again, you can make that path to where you're going, but your mind has been thinking about everything else. Think about it this way. We daydream all the time, but in our daydreaming, we daydream. You ever been thinking about your to-do list and then you start thinking about something else because your mind wanders? It's still inside of the to-do list, but this is how my mind works. If I'm going to Aldi to go shopping and I know I'm going to get Honeycrisp apples, the next thing I'll start thinking about is Washington State. I'm like, you know, I wonder how the Washington State apples are. But, you know, it's inside of my to-do list. We're daydreamers. But then you snap back to reality. My beloved Marshall Mathers said, oh, there goes gravity. Only the thugs got that. Only the thugs got that. You better lose yourself. No, okay, let me get back to being a preacher tonight. they're like, who is Marshall Mathers? You know, you ever tried to praise, but your mind keeps drifting off? You ever tried to give worship to God, or you've ever been trying to be really devout in your prayer life, but your mind wanders off? Can I just admit to you as your pastor and friend, one of the hardest things for me in my life is prayer. My mind wanders and I'm always thinking about doing the next thing. And so even when I get on my knees and come to this altar, or even when I'm in my office on my knees or on my face, sometimes when you don't see me before church, it's not that I'm not doing anything. Sometimes I'm just praying and meditating. But you know, it's really hard. That's why, to be quite honest with you, it's really hard for me to even have an office, because I go in there and I want to pray, but then my mind starts wondering or thinking about things I need to do. And it's hard to stay focused on that because we're just humans. We're just humans. Sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. And I've learned this about myself. I can be very hard on myself, but I'm learning how to love me better. I'm learning how to realize that Jesus died for all my shortcomings. And I'm learning that. But I want you to understand tonight, you need to think like a prisoner. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Because this is a praise and worship service, if you're able, stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word. Just one verse tonight. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Many of you are familiar with this chapter, but let's just read this one verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these. Father God, hide me behind the cross tonight. Allow us to praise you in a respectable fashion that would bring honor and glory to your name. We ask these things tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. The Apostle Paul tells us not to think about the hard things in life, the bad things in life, the scary things in life, the sinful things in life, the things that we can't control in life. He tells us, number one, to think on things that are true. To think on the truth. Now, this is a very simple understanding. The truth is anything that's not a lie. It's either fact or it's fiction, correct? We oftentimes, in our minds, think on lies. Now, let me illustrate this for a moment. A lot of times, we focus on our fears. And we know from the Word of God that our fear is a liar. I was telling someone the other day, I think it was Brother Mike Purden, the director at our camp. He was like, what are some other things that maybe you would want to do at camp or you could do? And I said, as long as it doesn't have to do with heights or snakes, I'm your guy. Even though I can't swim, if I got to get in the pool, I'll get in the pool. I just got to wear a life jacket. But if you want me to get up on that zip line, not going to do it. If you guys find a snake in the cabin, you want me to come get it, not going to do it. Find somebody else, all right? But I think about these things and I think about the truth. Why is it that as people, a lot of times we think on lies more than we do on the truth? Now watch. A lot of times in our lives, we look at ourselves and we say, I'm not pretty, or I don't like the way this looks. But the Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Word of God is truth. He says, thy word is truth, right? So everything that's not the Word of God that comes in here that's not actual and factual in the Word of God is a lie. We know this. The Word of God says that in this chapter, actually, at the middle of the chapter, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, correct? But then a lot of times we get into our mindset that I can't do something. Have you ever used the word I can't? If you've ever used the word I can't or the phrase I can't when you're saved, well, that was a lie. Because the Word of God says, I can. And so we take this truth and Paul wants us to remember he's thinking like a prisoner, and I'll explain that in a moment. He just wants the truth. He doesn't want a lie. He's in jail right there because of a lie. Because they're saying, you're raising up sedition, you're doing wrong things. And all he's doing is literally preaching the truth. But he's in jail. Second thing he tells us is to think on those things that are honest. Now, you think that honest and truth are the same, but they're different in this rendering. The word honest here means grave, not the grave you're put in, but grave, it means it's of great importance. If I was going to have you to have positive thinking tonight, could I implore you, as the Apostle Paul did, don't think on things that aren't important. Keep your mind in thinking. Think on things that are very important. At the end of the day, there's only really a few things that are important in my life. You know, the basic spectrum of needs, it's very important that my family and I have food and shelter and clothing. But a lot of times I think about things that aren't so important. I was joking Sunday about a truck. You know, it's really not important because I have a car that's reliable and gets me where I need to go. But sometimes we'll stress out about the things that don't matter at all. You ever stressed out about cutting the grass? I got to get that grass mowed. Now, you know how I hate to cut the grass, but I will say this to you, and this is a very honest statement. The grass is not of great importance whether you think it is or not. Because the Bible says the grass will burn up. And it's not gonna happen. And if you let the grass go and grass go and grass go, it's not important until the city comes by and puts a sign in your yard and says you better cut it. It's really not. Is the grass not being mowed worth you stressing over? It's not of great importance, but that's what we do. You know, a lot of times as Christians, and I don't mean to convict you, but I just think it's true. Today I was telling Brother Brandon, I was at the bank, and a young couple came in, and God just pressed upon my heart that I needed to hand them a tract and talk to them about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I was in line. It was about eight people in line at Right Pat, and I was about third in line, and they were leaving, and God kept saying, you need to go talk to these people. I'm like, but God, I don't want to lose my spot. I got a lot of stuff to do today. And God was going, I didn't ask you what you had to do today. I'm telling you what I told you to do now. And so I got out of the line, and I went outside, and I wasn't very happy about it, and I walked outside, and I was like, hey, do you want to come to our church? It's really cool. And I went out and talked to them. Their actual names were Logan and Victoria, and I went out, and I talked to them, invited them. They're like, where's your church at? And I said, it's in Trotwood. They said, we live in Trotwood. Go figure. We live right off Olive. And I said, okay, Lord, you know better than me. But you know, me standing in line and being ready to go, it was a deposit. It wasn't a withdrawal. It wasn't of great importance because it was about 11 o'clock. Right Pat was going to be open for another 5 or 6 hours. It wasn't more important than talking to people. They were saved, but it wasn't more important than talking to people who I didn't know if they were saved. Sometimes we put great emphasis on all kinds of other stuff and not great emphasis on what's really important. You know, grow's really important to us here at our church, right? And this isn't a pushy statement or whatever. If you can't be at grow, you can't be there. But I sometimes wonder when I'm out at grow on Thursday nights, what are people, especially when people live close by to where we're at, what are they doing that's more important than telling people about Jesus Christ, if they're healthy enough? Sometimes I wonder that to myself. I think to myself, you live 3 or 4 houses down from where we're meeting at and you can't be there and you're healthy. Kind of makes me wonder, what's in your life that's more? Now listen, grow's a Thursday. It's not a church night. It's not, so if your kids are out at soccer or whatever, I understand that, or you're at work. I'm not being critical of that. I'm just saying for us as a church, that's been a standard we've set of grow. We've had it now since COVID kicked. We had it before that, but then when COVID kind of died down. And I just wonder, what is more important to you? People used to make the excuse, well, I live far away. And then I realize, well, I live just as far away as everybody else now. The furthest people away, I live just as far. It takes me about 40 minutes to get here. And so, you know, what's important? He says, think on the things that are of great importance. Now, you know I say, if you pray, you don't have to worry, and if you worry, there's no reason to pray. But if you keep your mind fixed on the things that are of great importance, you really think about your life. You probably worry about things that aren't as important as you're making them. You ever heard somebody say, you're making it a big deal, and it's not. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. I do that. I'm like, oh, if I don't, if I don't get this done, or if I don't do this, or if I don't get this, or if I don't get home at this time, and make it, and then you know you relax and you kind of sit back. I have a hard time relaxing. I'm not a relaxed person. I'm kind of on edge. I'm kind of always on. It's very hard for me to be in the moment. I'll be honest with you. It's very hard for me. I've been trying, even at church, to like sit still and listen to people and talk. But when I'm at church, I'm too busy to talk to people because I'm binging around. It's just kind of how I'm wired, and I'm trying to get better at that. But it's hard. But then God convicted me of this when I was getting this message together. But what's more important than sitting down and talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ? Sometimes I'm like, you know what? That chair is crooked. I really need to change that. And we need to be decent in order, but is it as important? My friend Pastor Wally Miller was on my ordination council. Their church runs 4450 down in Fairfield, Ohio. Good friend of mine, and we were at a preacher's meeting, and they give these ideas and things. And he said, you know, I'm trying to figure out how, he's like, he was talking about delegation. He's like, I'm still the person, their church is about 18 years old. He's like, I'm still the person that goes through and makes sure all the toilets are flushed. And all the preachers are like, you need to find somebody else for that job. You can delegate that to anybody. He's like, but that's my job. That's what I do. It really, it's not of a great importance for what he's doing and shepherding 450 some people. You know, to flush the toilets isn't really that big in the grand scheme of things, you know, because somebody's going to flush it. It's going to get done. But I think about that. Then he says this. He says, think on things that are just. Think on the right things. Think on the right things. That's what that means. I think about all kinds of wrong things. I don't just mean sin. I mean, I just think about all kinds of wrong things. Like, when you're diabetic, you shouldn't be thinking about crumble cookie 24/7. Like, but I do. I just know they're moving it to the town center in Troy, and that's even worse for me because I'm actually there more than I'm where it was going to be originally, and this isn't good. So the cookies are good, but it's not good for my health. Say, but you got to think on right things. What does it really mean here? You know, we oftentimes think on all the things that went wrong in our day. We oftentimes think about all the things that went wrong in our lives. We oftentimes think about all the people who've wronged us in our life. But Paul says, stop giving attention to the wrong and start thinking on the right. When I really sit back, I was thinking about this 5 years of praise, and you know, there's been things that have happened over the last 5 years that I wish that went wrong, that I wish would have went right. But when you really look back, man, there's so much more that's right than ever has been wrong. There's so many more good things and blessings than bad things. If I had to write a list, I could probably write on a piece of paper, on note, on college ruled paper, I could probably write front and back the things that I consider to be bad or wrong in that period of time. But there's not a notebook big enough for me to write all the things that went right. So it starts to think on those things. And then number four, it says, think on the things that are pure, the things that are innocent. Everybody in jail thinks on the things that are innocent. They're like, oh, I didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't me. But you know, when we look at this, I want to think on the things that are pure, the things that are innocent. I think about this. Paul's saying to us, we need to think, it's not just the right things, it's the pure. Pastor Carter always says, don't be clean, be cleaner. But we're thinking about things that are completely innocent. And when I really pondered that thought from the Apostle Paul, the only person or thing that's ever been completely pure is Jesus. So when I stop thinking on all the things that are guilty, all my guilty stains, then that means I'm just thinking about Jesus, that my mind's just on him when I'm thinking about what's completely, totally innocent. You saw that little lamb I'm holding. Her name was Ribbon. It was our Christmas lamb. Some farmers from our church had that, and she had a diaper on, and I was like, I need that for an illustration. So she was actually at our church 2 weeks in a row. She was actually in my house, running around my house after church one day. I'm like, why do I have a lamb in my house? I was like, you better be lucky that I love the Lamb of God and I feel some kind of way about lambs. But and they said, well, what if it was the lion? Well, he couldn't have come inside. But, you know, I think about that lamb, and that lamb was just 6 or 7 weeks old. And, you know, the Bible talks about bringing a lamb without spot or blemish. But when that lamb to my eye had spots and blemishes, you know, a little blotchy here, a little there. But the lamb that Paul, you know, is looking to, this pure and innocent, he's completely spotless. He's completely without sin. I look upon that. And because of that, though your sins be as scarlet, what can he do? Make it white as snow or white as wool, right? this innocence, the innocent blood. And then number five, Paul says, think on things that are lovely. Now, he's not talking about looking at your pastor and thinking on me. I know I'm lovely, but that's not what he meant. Nobody laughed. Okay, anyway. must be true. He's not talking about thinking on beauty or the outward appearance. He's talking about think on things. This is kind of a different word, so you have to get it, and I'm not going to try to say it in Greek. It means to think on things that are friendly or acceptable. It makes sense in the biblical context because for someone to have friends, they got to show themselves friendly. In order to be accepted, you have to also be acceptable. And you know, I think that that's really important for us in this day and age. It's an easy target for me because a lot of times we're thinking on things we want to be accepted into and we shouldn't really want to be accepted into. Teenagers, I'm not picking on you. I was talking to our college and career class. You know, in your world, in your society, peer pressure is worse than for us adults generally. And they're going to want you to, in order to be in the cool crowd or be accepted into certain places, you have to kind of do something. If you want to be hanging out with these people, they want you to do things that are acceptable. But it doesn't change throughout your whole life because there's people like that at your job. There's people like that as in your circles, or there's people like that at college. There's people like that in your church. It's like, you want to be accepted because at the minimum, the bare minimum of human beings, we want to be accepted. We want somebody to be friendly towards us. Not if you say, I don't want people to be friendly to me, I don't want people to like me, you're probably lying. You're probably putting up a guard. Everybody wants somebody to be friendly to them. Nobody wants to walk in and everybody's mean to them. To be accepted, he says, don't think on the people who aren't accepting you. Think about the ones who are. But you ever think about that? We think about the people that don't accept us. We think about, it's so simple. He didn't like me. When someone rejects the gospel, I think on that person way longer than I think about when somebody accepts it. When I knock on the door and somebody's like, I don't want to talk to you about Jesus, that bothers me for weeks. But if I go to the door and somebody gets saved, unless that person comes to church, I say one time, I know they got saved, but that I don't think on that as much as I think about the one person that rejected me. You think about it. You think about the relationship, the person, if you got dumped, if you've ever been dumped, you think about the person that rejected you. But if you're now with somebody that loves you, you get over that after time. But you might, for a period of time, you're thinking about the person that dumped you more than you're thinking about the one that's with you. Come on. It's human nature. Just be honest. It's the truth. You keep thinking about it. Think about it. You get one bad grade, you're a goody two-shoes, and you just get all kinds of good grades, and you've never had anything less than an A, and then you get a B, and then you think about that one B, even though all you've ever had is A's. I do this. I'm guilty of all these things. You have one bad day. You do one bad thing, and that one bad thing you did haunts you. And we don't get saved through good works, but just our behaviors. You do one bad thing and it just bothers you. You snap one time and it just bothers you. And why did I do that? But you could be good, you could be nice all the other times, but that one time, it bothers you. Paul said, don't think on that. He says, don't think on things that aren't reputable or well spoken of. Don't think on things that aren't something worth your time. Oh, my friends, good report. How many times are you thinking of things that are of bad report? You've heard me say this all the time. That's why I don't watch the news. Because the news is pretty much a bad report these days. It's not a whole lot of good. So you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to watch it and then have to keep thinking on all those bad things. I'm going to get my life together so that I can think on good things. You know what I do more than I watch the news? I that's why I say I like to read my news. I go to the websites or go to the things that I want to see. So I like the Cincinnati Bengals or the Cincinnati Reds. You know, last night, did anybody see the Reds game last night? I didn't watch it, but I was listening along. And you know, you see that comeback. I want to think on that. I don't want to think about last year when we stunk and lost 100 games. Hey, guess what? The Bengals have only been good for 3 years, but my entire life, me and Brother Derek grew up right there where the training camp was at. Our entire childhood, they were awful. I think you're a Dolphins fan, though, aren't you? No, praise God. Thank you. I know you was a Florida boy. I was like, oh, man. But, you know, I don't want to think about the 90s or the early 2000s as the Bengals, Achilles Smith and Kajon. I don't want to think about that's been erased from my memory. All I know is Gridian and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. That's all I know now. And Joe Burrows. I don't know. But you say the Bengals weren't any good? No. They've been good Ezekiel's whole life, which, I mean, good enough for me. You know what I mean? Like, good enough for me. I don't want to think. Why are we thinking about, but that's what we do. We think on bad things. But let me encourage you tonight, and I'm wrapping up. He says, now, if you find any virtue, it means if you find anything that praise should be attributed to, or then he uses the word praise, but that word means if you find any reason of anything that's commendable, just focus on that. But if you look back at those six things, truth and honesty and justice and purity and love and goodness, if you look back at all those things, those are all of the attributes of God. And in those attributes, Paul says, when everything is wrong, Jesus is always right. When everything around you, don't think on the wrong things, think on the right thing, the right one who is Jesus. The old song they sang, woke up this morning with my mind, stayed on Jesus. Think like a prisoner. The prisoner is always talking about getting out. The prisoner is always talking about getting out and getting better food, better showers, better health care. Think like a prisoner. The prisoner is always thinking about being with their families, being with their friends, being in their own home. Think like a prisoner. The prisoner is always thinking about being found innocent, getting free of the shackles and bondage, getting out from under the taskmaster's control. Think like a prisoner today. Start thinking about how it's going to get better, not worse. Think of things that are positive to be praised. Think on him who is worthy to be praised. Think like a prisoner who knows they've been set free even though they don't deserve it, not on their own recognizance, not out on bail, but completely free from sin, from bondage. Their life has set free. This is why we praise. Think like a prisoner. I can remember like it was yesterday. He's actually a very nice man. He could sing and he would always sing gospel music. He would come to jail and be a porter, and it means an inmate worker, and he would sing and praise, and he was out, worked third shift, and he was out doing the laundry. And the man's name was George Larkin, and he would be out and doing the laundry thing. This is 20 years ago now. And I can remember, I was a young guy, and I can remember say, Mr. Larkin, why are you always so happy? Like, he would go to jail for dumb stuff. I mean, it wasn't anything major. I'm like, why are you so happy all the time? He's like, because all I ever think about is not being in here. I'm like, that don't make no sense. You're in jail. Like, you're locked up in this little room. You're doing everybody, like, you're washing grown men's drawers, and you feel happy. He's in there singing songs and writing songs. I'm like, why are you so happy? And he said this to me, and I remember this as a young guy. He said, if all you do in jail is think about jail, you'll never get out. I was like, duh. Doesn't sound so profound. And I like start thinking about that. But what he was saying is, you know, this is what you call being institutionalized. People get out of jail and they're free, but they've been in jail so long they're institutionalized and they don't know how to live once they get out. As Christians, even though we're free from the bondage of our flesh and we're now in the spirit, we've been institutionalized with sin so long that we don't recognize freedom when we got it. So our minds keep going back to what was wrong and to the wrong thinking and the wrong things, and our minds won't allow us to stay in an attitude of praise and worship and looking towards Jesus because we've been institutionalized because so much bad stuff has happened. We've lost so many loved ones. We've had so many people hurt our feelings. We've had church hurt. We've had all kinds of other stuff that's happened, and so much bad stuff has happened, but we're not thinking like a prisoner. The prisoner's not worried about what's going on in the jail. They're worried about what happens when they get out of jail. We got to start focusing our minds, as Paul says, on the good things, on the positive things. We could spend all night on negative. But I encourage, as the Apostle Paul did, think not on those things. Think on these things. And these things, my friend, will allow you to have a true virtuous praise life. And what's interesting to you, just a side note, if you read those verses before, which you know about prayer, you know what I've realized about praise? If you really want to be a praiser and a worshiper, praise and worship always comes after prayer. It always comes after you've been in deep conversation and discussion with God, whether it was good or bad. Because remember, Paul goes through your moderation, your supplications. He goes through all these different styles of prayer. But at the end of that, he says, finally, brethren, after you've done praise and all that, now it's time to praise him.